All right, so I want to talk about, well, basically the subject of the meeting, and I'm going to give an introduction, but I can't really give a general introduction because I don't know enough. I'm going to give introduction sort of my background and motivation. And so this is sort of a historical introduction. So, I mean, I got started, I've worked in microlensing, and in 93, we found the first microlensing events, and these were observed toward the Large Magellanic Cloud, trying to answer the question whether the dark matter in the galaxy is made of sort of stellar mass or brown dwarf type objects. So the problem here is it's a background. You see these lensing events, but you don't really know how far away the lens is. And even before we had this discovery, it was shown that a 30-centimeter telescope in a heliocentric orbit would answer this question. We had a MIDEX proposal which lost out to WMAP, the Dark Object Microlens Explorer, which was basically a 30-centimeter telescope in a heliocentric orbit. But of course, there's a lot of 30-centimeter telescopes in heliocentric orbits. The solar system, I mean, these are the cameras that look at things inside the solar system. They're already there, and so the obvious thing is whether there's any possibility of doing this type of measurement with such a telescope. I attempted this first time in the late 90s, contacted the folks at Cassini, and in particular Carolyn Porco, and she was interested.
Excuse me, I need that.
Yeah, so basically, the idea with the microphone is that it's sort of like Facebook. Your every action will be recorded and posted on the internet.
I forgot to say that KITP is recording this, and they're recording the video also. And you can eventually see the video online somewhere. Is that correct?
Yes.
And if people agree, we will put their slides on that site also. So there will be documentation for the meeting. I apologize for not mentioning that. If you do not wish to have your voice recorded or to have your golden words perpetuated and sent out into the ether, you should say so, and we will edit that part out somewhere along the line, I guess. Right. Sorry.
Okay, so the PI of the this imaging science subsystem on Cassini was Carolyn Porco, and she was interested in doing observations with this on the cruise to between Earth and Saturn. And we made arrangements for test observations, and they got canceled due to a reaction wheel anomaly, which caused the program manager to cancel all sorts of observations that they wanted to do, including ours. Then next attempt I tried was to do an extended mission proposal with Mike Ahern on Deep Impact. And the prime mission of Deep Impact was only 6 months. I guess it originally was going to be a year and a half, but they proposed to launch and then have an Earth flyby a year later. And of course, the reason they did this was that they wanted some slop so that when they ran over time that they could delay their launch a year, which is what they did. With this, and I had also lobbied at headquarters to trying to get some sort of funding possibility for this, and they allowed it as a new, a new science extended mission proposal was something they first announced and allowed in the, I guess it was a, I forget what, 2003 or 2004 SMEX or MIDEX. And so we proposed this. And it had a fair amount of support from JPL, except that at the same time, of course, in these developing missions, there are crises all the time. One crisis that they had was that they delayed their launch. To get rid of this one year earlier launch with the Earth flyby, and this meant that they're replanning everything. They had on all the mission planners who were previously free to help us with our proposal. We're now working on the prime mission, and so as a result, at the last minute, we didn't have anyone to work on our budget. They required a budget, and so we got a pseudo budget by people at Goddard, who really didn't know much about the mission, but their job was to make budgets. And so our proposal was rejected because basically we didn't have a believable budget. And, you know, we tried to propose to say that, well, you know, if you select us for a phase A study, then we'll have a real budget. And instead of accepting us for a phase A study, they rejected us, and they gave a quite strong science review, and they told us to, and they said, well, we're having a mid-X next year, you can propose then, it'll be just in time, and of course they canceled it. And then they did plan, they did plan, I guess, a similar sort of thing for the discovery round of proposals in 2006, but it turned out that the part of the orbit that we wanted to use, this was actually for microlensing toward the Large Magellanic Cloud, the orbit that they had between 2005 and the end of 2007 was the orbit that we wanted to use, and so we had a chance to propose basically too late. Anyway, there were a couple of proposals, though, and we're going to hear more about that. There's the EPIC proposal and the Dixie proposal. One is to observe another comet. EPIC is to do exoplanet observations. We'll hear more about that later. This was all supposed to run in 2008. But then when it came time to find the comet that they were going to go visit, they couldn't find it. And so they proposed to do another comet that they could actually find. And so the mission is actually still running. It's going to finish in November 2010. Our proposal basically missed out due to sort of scheduling problems and the fact that they didn't have enough money to fly a full mid-X mission, even though we weren't proposing for a full mid-X mission. And I must say that, Deep Impact, the spacecraft has been up there, will have 5 years beyond the original end of the mission, and basically EPIC uses only 8 months of that. So it's actually, even though there's some wonderful science coming out of this, it is actually most of the time is not being used. Now I want to talk a little bit about this exoplanet program analysis group. So as Wes mentioned, this is the lowest rung on the sort of NASA advisory structure, but we do analysis and not advice. And the difference here is that when we do analysis, this means that we're allowed to bring in people who are really experts on the field. And in fact, anyone can sort of join. I'm not just a member of anyone can be a member of the Exoplanet Program Analysis Group. I'm a member of the executive committee, which was sort of selected by proposals. But anyone can join, and so if there's a particular issue that we require real experts to work on, we don't have to worry that the experts may have a vested interest. They can still do the analysis, and then the people higher up in the food chain will decide whether there's some issue with conflict of interest. And since we're only doing analysis and not advice, we don't have to worry about it. This is supposed to be based on the success of these program analysis groups in the solar system division that basically decide goals and so forth for the or come up with research plans for various research programs within the solar system. At around the time of our first meeting in January of this year, executive committee proposed these five science analysis groups, and these were approved in February or March by the Astrophysics Subcommittee of the NASA Advisory Council. And so the one we're focused on here is the potential for exoplanet science measurements from solar system probes. All right, we haven't done any of these sort of studies before, so we have to sort of decide what we need to do as we do it. But I think the sort of things we want to put in the report is basically to provide, show that there's a strong science case for some of these things. And we also want to look at, practical issues in trying to implement these. I mean, generally, it's going to be hard to do things that might, be seen to conflict with a prime mission. Okay, so for example, observations during an extended mission are probably more practical than observations during a cruise phase, because the cruise phase is a much higher priority thing that you have to worry about. And another thing is basically the sources of funding. These are expensive instrument, expensive spacecraft that are built, from money from the solar system division. The solar system people think that, we should be spending astrophysics money to fund our, our science and not their solar system money, because they have lots more things in the solar system they want to spend money on. And I should mention there's a number of parallel efforts. I guess Mario Perez will tell us a bit about efforts at headquarters on the general question of astrophysics with solar system missions. And there was this workshop down in Irvine on sort of cosmology from 5AU. So this, none of this is directly under our ExoPag, but probably NASA would respond by something that's not just focused on exoplanets, but also on other science that can be done. Okay, that's all I wanted to say. Any questions? Well, I think Mario is going to maybe talk about the headquarters effort, so probably that would be appropriate for him to talk about. Want to use these things?
I'm going to repeat this tomorrow, but there's a lot of interest in headquarters to maximize the utilization of NASA assets in general.
I'm sorry. Not only the space asset, but also the ground asset. So for that reason, it's just asset. So there's an effort of trying to. So far, we had missions that have been chemically pure, kind of either doing astrophysics or planetary science or other science like heliophysics, but really could be a mix. And that, we found out that is because people propose that way, not because really NASA is trying to make distinctions. So that could be a race, and I think coming up in the next discovery competition this year will be at least one mission we know is going to be both planetary and astrophysics mission. And I think that's going to change the paradigm. And from that point on, everything will be open. It could be solar physics and planetary and astrophysics. And so this is opening up. It's really a fictitious division so far to have been mostly imposed by legacy, culture, and people think in terms of only one science line. However, it's possible to raise that, and there's nothing in writing that really opposed to that concept. So.